This is Jasmine Guillory, and this is How I Create.
Welcome back to This is How We Create. My name is Martine Severin. Today on the show, I'm happy to host Jasmine Guillory in the guest chair. Jasmine started her career out as a lawyer, but fell into writing after participating in a National Novel Writing Month challenge. Since then, she has written over 8 books. Her most recent page-turning and delightful book is Drunken Love, and it is widely available. During our time together, Jasmine and I talk about how she came to find her voice as a writer. We discuss her writing process and talk about how she manages to maintain boundaries, whether she's collaborating with Amazon or with Hello Sunshine. It was a treat to chat with one of my favorite contemporary authors. Please enjoy this conversation with Jasmine Guillory. Welcome back to This is How We Create. My name is Martine Severin. I am so pleased to be chatting with Jasmine Guillory today. Jasmine is a New York Times bestselling author. Her novels include The Wedding Date, The Reese's Book Club Selection, The Proposal, and By the Book. Her work has appeared in The Wall Street Journal, Cosmopolitan, Bon Appetit, and Time, and she is a frequent contributor to The Today Show. Jasmine lives in Oakland, California. Welcome to the show, Jasmine.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Jasmine, I think you and I have 2 things in common. The first being that we both attended Wellesley College.
Indeed.
And the second is that we both love romance novels.
Absolutely.
Funny enough, I learned English through reading romance novels.
Oh my goodness, that's amazing.
I found out about you through Wellesley Magazine, and I have to say that I am a huge fan. But before we dig into your career move from being a lawyer to now being a writer, I'd like to go back to way back in the day. Can you tell us a little bit about you as a child? What were you interested in as a child? What would the young you think about where you are now?
I was a huge reader. I started reading when I was really little. My parents were both in school when I was young, so they could just like bring me along with them and I would sit in the corner and read a book. I danced ballet, and when I was really little, I wanted to be a ballerina when I grew up.
I read that your parents would always find you just reading in a corner. Oh, yes. And would say, Jasmine.
Like, what I distinctly remember, a number of times they would take me furniture shopping, or like we would go to REI and I would just go into like a tent or on top of a bunk bed and just read, and they would lose me. Like, yeah, I'd be looking all around like, where is she? And I was like always somewhere with a book.
From what I read, you always, always wanted to be a lawyer. Did you ever in the back of your mind think that you would be a writer, or was being a lawyer always what you had in mind for yourself?
Absolutely never thought about being a writer. I had a teacher when I was in 7th grade, Miss Murray Gill, who I adored, who was like a young Black woman. She was like going on to law school after that year of teaching. I really looked up to her and I was like, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a lawyer just like her. And I'd always loved reading. I mean, I read all the time, but I never thought about being a writer until I was in my 30s at least.
And so from what I understand, you started to write a romance novel when a friend of yours, or actually perhaps it wasn't a romance novel, but it was a challenge for you to write a book in a certain amount of time. Is that how you first came writing?
That's how I first started writing The Wedding Date. But I had started writing before that. You know, I had been a lawyer for a number of years. I was in a job where I kind of realized at one point, like, oh, we just do the same thing over and over again. I sort of had been out of school for a while. I missed the experience of learning something new. I realized that I kind of needed some sort of creative outlet in my life that I hadn't had for a while. And so I was sort of trying to think of what to do, because there've been a lot, like I like to cook, but there's only so much cooking I can do, right? And I've always sort of picked up knitting and then put it back down again. And so I had friends who were writers, and I thought, like, well, I've always loved to read. Maybe I would like writing. And so I had friends who were writers, and I had sort of very tentative conversations with them about, like, do you think I could do this? Or what do you like about, you know, that kind of thing. And they were very encouraging. And so I just sort of started writing then. And I had an idea for a novel. I just kind of started on straight with a novel and, you know, started like writing it after work every night. And I realized just that I loved it. Like, I looked forward to coming home at night and writing, and I was like kind of thinking about what I was working on all the time. And I just had so much fun doing it that it was, you know, it was the creative outlet that I had been looking for. And then I just kind of kept going.
In your novel, By the Book, which took me a while to figure out it was essentially Beauty and the Beast, by the way. That's how much you had me. But in that novel, the heroine, she goes, I'm not going to ruin anything, anyone, but in the novel, your heroine goes to this writer's home, and essentially she coaxes a novel out of him because he is supposed to deliver a novel to her agency because she's an editor. They end up using the Pomodoro method, which, you know, you work for a certain amount of time and then you take a break. And I wonder if that's what you do when you're writing. Do you sit down and you take out your phone and you set a timer and you say to yourself, you're going to just work for X amount of time, and then you get up and you work for that time, and then you get up and then you stop and you take a break? Or do you just go at it?
I do it in a number of different ways. I've never written it exactly that way. Sometimes, actually, I will, instead of setting a timer on my phone, I set my stopwatch just to kind of see like that it is sort of timing me instead of like an alarm going off, just to see how long I can go. I usually don't write for any longer than like an hour at a stretch. For me, like, sometimes I will just, if I get to a hard point, I will like think, oh, I'll just check my phone and see what's happening there. And so having that stopwatch going is kind of my reminder, like, no, you're on the clock. You're going now. I know that I kind of have stopping points. I can only, because when I sit down to write, like, I am very focused on exactly what I'm working on. And so I can't write for like long periods of time. I always need to take breaks. Sometimes just saying like, okay, I only have to do it for 15 minutes is really helpful, just to like get yourself in the chair, or at least it can be for me and a lot of other writers out there, I think.
Understood. I also find that most of your heroines, they tend to be very focused. I love them for that. They're go-getters. They're very hard workers. I'm assuming that, you know, that was very important for you to essentially switch careers. Did you know that you were going to leave being a lawyer, or did you set out to really become a writer, or you were just trying to see how it went?
Yeah, not at all. I mean, at first when I started writing, I was just looking to see, do I like this? Can this be something fun that I can do after work for myself? And then once I, you know, the first book I wrote was not my first published book, but once I wrote The Wedding Date, that is the book that I got my agent with and got a publishing deal with. But even then, like, I didn't think that I was going to be, I always thought I was going to be juggling both careers, you know, that I have the ability to work, to write full time now is a great privilege, but I never thought I was going to only be able to be a writer.
One of the interesting things I think about the guests who've been on This Is How We Create, a lot of them have transitioned in their careers. We've had Ayanna Ross, who is an award-winning figurative painter, who was a teacher, an art teacher, and then she went off and got her master's degree to becoming a painter. Can you tell us about how that transition happened for you in terms of how you came to create your own voice as a writer as you were balancing both careers?
Yeah, you know, I think creating your own voice as a writer takes a lot of fumbling around, especially at the beginning. I think a lot of, especially a lot of new writers sort of start out not purposefully, but kind of imitating other writing that they have that has resonated with them or other writing that they have read recently. And that's not a bad thing. Like, I think you kind of have to do that for a while before you figure out what works for you, who the people are that you're talking about, like what your own kind of writing style is. I think most creatives just sort of learning how to do anything kind of start out that way. I think there's a lot of experimentation, or at least there was for me early on, and kind of figuring out what style do I want to write in? You know, how do I write the scene? What kind of things do I love to write and what kind of things don't I? And so I think being able to experiment early on is really useful. When I was working full time, I only had a little bit of time each day to write. So that was like, you know, when I was talking before about how when I am writing, I'm very focused. I think that's part of it, is that when, you know, I would bring my laptop to work with me, like go to the Starbucks across the street from the office for like 30 minutes at lunchtime and write. And I knew I only had 30 minutes. So I would just kind of dive right in and write straight for that 30 minutes. When I'm in the middle of writing, that is all I am doing. And so I think it helps to sort of like, at least it helped me to just sort of keep charging through and seeing what I could accomplish and like revising and figuring out what I like and what I don't. Because at the end, it really is your own taste that you have to figure out and approve of every single time. You know, like I am really the only person who I know, okay, if I like this, then I have to believe that my writing is good enough. And so I think it really helps to just keep going back over and over again.
I think a lot of times, even now as a photographer, I changed jobs mid-career, if you will. I started out after getting my graduate degree. After several years in, I decided, I think I want to be a photographer. And so here we go. And I think one of the best advice that I've ever been given was to just keep shooting and keep creating, because it's in the creation that you actually find out what it is that you are interested in and what you're trying to say. And to that, I'd love to hear your take on about your process. How does the book come to be from the time that you start having an idea to it being completely fleshed out, and to, you know, you go through the iterations to sending it to the editor and actually having a book? Can you talk to me a bit about that process?
Yeah, you know, it's a little different for every book, but generally, you know, I first have an idea. When I'm first kind of thinking through a book, the first thing that always happens is I'll have like a note on my phone where I'll kind of have general ideas and kind of, you know, every time something comes to me about a book, then I will jot it down then. And then once I kind of am like, all right, I have enough to kind of start sketching stuff out, I start kind of coming up with a general outline. I always have some sort of outline for books. Sometimes it's very detailed. Sometimes it's a lot, you know, more like a beginning, middle, and end. But I always just sort of have to have some path to follow. I usually diverge from that path at some point while I write, but it helps me to just have it there. And then once I've got that, then I just sort of start writing. I'm a person who writes very messy first drafts. So I will just kind of start writing and then keep going until I get to the end. I rarely go back and look at what I have done while I'm working on it, because I think my goal is always just sort of to like push to the end and have a finished draft, and then I can revise it. So I spend a lot of time revising. Nobody sees any of my drafts until like it's at least the fourth draft. My editor usually doesn't see it until it's like the fifth or sixth draft, because there's a lot that like I do on my own. And then there's always a point where I'm like, okay, I know there's still things wrong with it. I can't quite figure out how to fix them. So here, it's time to send it to my editor. And so then I send it off, and then she has notes. We go, you know, we talk about them. I make edits, I ask questions. I will often also send it to other writer friends or, you know, my agent, who always has good suggestions. And then it's sort of the final, you know, there's always, you know, in a bookmaking process, right? There are so many things that happen after, like I send in my final edits to my editor, and then I have copy edits, and then I have like past pages that come and we fix this and that, you know, so there's a lot of like sort of final edits that happen. So it's, it's a long process. This is the other thing. Like, if you write a book, you better really like it, because you are reading that book over and over and over and over and over again. By the time I think a book comes onto the shelves, I mean, I have usually read it beginning to end at least 10 times, sometimes more. And so it's a kind of a long revision process until I get to the end.
I read a fact about you that you wrote 8 books in 5 years. Is that correct?
I've released 8 books.
Okay, so that's different. You've released.
and again, as I just said, like, the production process for a book often takes a while. So, you know, those first 2 books, they were in the pipeline before anything came out. So yes, 8 books had been released in 5 years. They've taken a little bit longer to write, but.
Well, I was going to say, wow, she's so dogged. She works. So that's great to hear. So, but in general, how long does a book take you? I know that your process changes from book to book, but, you know.
Anywhere from like a year and a half to like 5 to 6 months, really. Sometimes even a little bit shorter. It just is really dependent on the book. I mean, I think the shortest book was Royal Holiday, partly just because of that book is a little shorter anyway, and we were rushing it a little bit with the timeline. But that book, I think from when I first started writing it to when it was all done, when it was like ready to be printed, that was maybe like 5 or 6 months. That was unusually short. Everything else takes a little bit longer.
That book is so lovely. Oh my goodness. I think I was on holiday when I was reading that book, and I remember my son coming over to talk to me, and I was like, leave me alone. Oh, that was so lovely. And I recently sent it to my mother, and I sent it to an old boss of mine. Thank you for what you do, because honestly, it really is absolutely lovely. I think for By the Book, I listened to it, to the audio version, and then I read the book. And it's lovely that oftentimes it gives you 2 different experiences. So there's that, people. Yeah, get it twice. All right. The next thing I want to talk to you is about that transition. And I guess the only reason I'm asking about the transition from being a lawyer to being a writer and to call yourself a writer at that, I think a lot of people actually do change careers to becoming an artist, because I think at least for me, when I was at Wellesley College, I didn't want to be an artist because I didn't want to be, you know, a broke artist, which what I was, it's a thing that I grew up believing, that, you know, you were a starving artist, which I don't think isn't necessarily has to be true at all. Can you talk to me a little bit about the mental story, or about, you know, making that transition?
Yeah, I did both for a while. So I, I wrote The Wedding Date in 2015. I got my publishing deal from it in 2016. It came out in 2018. I didn't quit my job until 2019. In that time period, I wrote basically 2 more books as I was still working full time. So there was a lot of juggling early on. You know, there was a lot of, right, bringing my laptop to work and working across in the Starbucks across the street. There was a lot of like working late nights. Actually, the hardest part was after I had a book out, right? Because like juggling the work of both things, like the actual writing and the actual lawyering, obviously that was hard, but it was less of a challenge because I could sort of put them both in their own time slots. Once The Wedding Date came out, and then I was doing promotional stuff and doing like, you know, kind of the work of an author that isn't just the writing, that got a lot harder to juggle, because it was, you know, things like, can you be on a podcast at 3 o'clock in the afternoon? And so I would like hide in a closet at work until I call into a podcast or things like that. That was when the juggling got more difficult. So there was a lot of kind of back and forth and taking time off to travel to do book stuff. But then actually, once I quit my job, that was also challenging for a while, because it, you know, I'm a person who does very well with structure. I think that's partly why I always have outlines, and because it's good for me to have the structure there. And then when I didn't have anything specific during the day where I had to be and I had to do this. I was like, I don't know when do I write now? Like, I don't know where to structure my day. You know, how do I do all of this? And so that took a while to kind of figure out how to work for myself. So yeah, so I think that is a challenge that I wasn't very good at first, and then I kind of had to figure out.
And there's also all the promotion, because yeah. I can only assume, and you're all over the place. And I laugh, but I laugh in joy, because, you know, you're often on the Today Show, and you, and I don't remember for which publication, but you do these pieces, you know, if Lupita Nyong'o was your friend.
Yeah, it was for the Late Lamented Toast, which
okay.
That I adored, but yeah.
What are some of the lessons that you've learned in terms of talking about your work as well as promoting your work?
I think one of the lessons that I have learned is to kind of think harder through everything I say yes to, right? Because, like, especially at the beginning, any offer that I got, I would say yes. And then I realized that partly that was taking away from my writing time. That was also like, do I want to give my energy to every single thing that I get asked to do? So I really had to learn how to prioritize myself and my own time, and what I, you know, do I want to do this? I think is always kind of my first question. And then, you know, will this take away from something else that I want to do more, or something else that is more important to me, or, you know, that kind of thing. So I think kind of learning how to let myself say no, or really to make myself say no, because I am not good at that, has been a lesson that I've really had to learn.
One last question for you, and this question is about collaborations. So you have collaborated with Kiki Palmer. You wrote By the Book as a Disney's Meant to Be imprint, or under that imprint. And now you have a collaboration, and I don't know if collaboration is the right word to use, so I'm just using it loosely, with Hello Sunshine. How did these partnerships come to be? And more importantly, how do you maintain your voice? And how do you say no when you're being pushed, or you might be, you know, suggested to go one way or another?
All of those, you know, things happened in, like, I really had to think through, talk with my agent, especially, who is a very helpful voice in kind of helping me figure out what my priorities are. Will this work with everything else I have lined up? And will this be fun for me to do? You know, I think the Kiki Palmer thing happened when they came to me. You know, it is Amazon worked with me and Kiki Palmer for us to write short stories based on some of Kiki's characters that she'd come up with. And when they came to me, I was like, oh my gosh, this sounds so much fun. But I don't have time because, like, I have to deliver two books this year, you know. And then they were like, okay, well, the timeline is a little movable, so we can work with you. And so that was helpful because knowing that I had the ability to kind of move things around a little bit, and that if they had stayed firm on the timeline, I would have had to say no. But it sounded like such a fun thing. And, you know, writing can be such a lonely journey. You're by yourself so often. And I was interested in the idea of collaboration. You know, it is fun to kind of have somebody else to bounce ideas off of, somebody else to say, you know, when something's not working, someone else to say, what about if we did this? And then it kind of all falls into place. So I think a lot of that is knowing that when you go in, it's a conversation and not one or the other person in charge is very helpful.
Thank you. So Jasmine, what advice do you have for some folks who are interested in becoming a writer?
One is to read a lot. I've been reading my whole life. I was a reader long before I was a writer. And I think all of the books that I have read have built upon my knowledge as a writer. You know, being able to, like, know how to tell a good story, you have to have read lots of good stories first to see, this part is slow, this is boring me. If it's boring me as the writer, it is going to bore a reader, you know? And so kind of thinking thinking about writing as a reader is very useful. I learned so much from reading other people, you know, just sentence structure and how you talk about different things and, you know, how to construct stories in totally different ways, like not just in my genre, but in so many other genres as well. And then I also think just keep trying, right? Like just what you were saying before about you just have to keep shooting, you just have to keep writing. Even if something is not working, pushing through and kind of figuring out why is it not working? What am I doing wrong here? What am I not excited about? What am I excited about? Can I write about that instead? Or, you know, just like having fun with it. Because I also feel like if you're not having fun with this, what's the point of doing it in the first place, right? And so, yes, obviously, it's not always going to be fun, but there still has to be something that brings you back to it. And that, I think, is really important, is kind of finding the core that will bring you back to it every time.
Beautiful words, and I think that they are relevant for both people who want to be writers or want to do anything in life, right? Jasmine, that is all that we have today. Thank you so much for coming in and for chatting with us.
Thank you so much. This was lovely.